confident.
Thank God it's
Friday. It's
We made it. It is Friday, heading into a sports weekend. Here we go with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. We're glad to have you always connected with the show on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions, 46862. 46862. Big show today, taking you all the way up to 6 o'clock. We will have Justin Kenny joining us. Yes, it is that time. It's hard to believe. This week has been like a blur for me. I feel like I had my Monday morning meeting and boom, now it is Friday. Just a twister in between. It was, it's what happens every time, every year this time. As I start to count down to high school football getting underway, there's so many different things that trying to take care of and wrap up and, get commercials produced from our sponsors and get some contracts finalized. But I will tell you this, we have gotten to a point where we appreciate our sponsors so, so much that actually support our high school football broadcast. We've had some sponsors that have been with us from the very beginning. And we can't thank them enough. I mean, Pizza Hut has been on board since we started broadcasting our high school football. And we came up with this crazy idea that a big part of covering high school football was to have a scoreboard show after the high school football game was over. And we tried to figure out the logistics of doing that. And on a very small staff that we have here, there wasn't a lot of choice of personnel at the time. And I said, well, I don't know if I can make it back to the studio every night after the high school game, but if we could get a partner like a Pizza Hut to join us, maybe we could just jump in and have a Pizza Hut post-game party and do the post-game show straight from Pizza Hut. And from the beginning, Todd Holman and company, they were on board. It was great to have their support from the very beginning. Before we even did our first show, they were already supportive of our high school sports coverage. And that's kind of business that Pizza Hut is here in Fort Wayne. And we appreciate them so much because we wouldn't have a post-game show to this day probably if it had not started the way it started 10 years ago, where they made their restaurants available. We were able to do a live broadcast from their Pizza Huts, and so Indiana Physical Therapy then jumped on board. They said, hey, that sounds like a great time to actually be promoting because, I mean, what are people doing after the game's over? Jumping in their cars. You've got, 35, 40,000 people that are leaving stadiums around Northeast Indiana, and the first thing on their mind is, who beat who tonight? And, who had some of the highlights and what are the records and who's leading the conferences? And I want to hear from my coach and hear what he has to say about the game. And the best way to do that is to lock it into 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM right after the game's over. And so Indiana Physical Therapy, they jumped on board 10 years ago. And, both of them are still very loyal, committed sponsors to our programs on Friday night. We can't thank them enough. And then also, early on, Parkview Sports Medicine got involved. And they decided, we'd like to count down to the kickoff. We'd like to get a pregame show where you can kind of bridge the gap between the sports rush and the start of the high school football game. And so it made our broadcast almost completely fluid in having Parkview Sports Medicine then sponsor our tailgate pregame show, where we're able to get out to the ballparks. We're able to take our station Parkview Sports Medicine vehicle. We're able to set up our tent and broadcast live where the action is. Jim Shevlin, Shannon Griffith, Doot, and others along the way. Tommy at one point was on our show. They have done a terrific job giving you previews of all the area games with our Parkview Sports Medicine tailgate pregame show. And then it comes to the game, and what's surprising is we do not have a presenting sponsor for our actual game of the week. So I'm calling you out right now. If you're a business that's listening to our program, we have had loyal support and probably 90 to 95%. In fact, I can only think of two sponsors that we've had over the years that did not continue to partner with us. And, you know, there's different reasons for that. It's not like they didn't like it or whatever. It's just sometimes marketing budgets get changed or you have new marketing people that get put into place. But I can tell you that that we've had some loyal supporters over the years. Cruzy Automotive Service has been terrific. Hoopy Insurance Services. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't want to leave anybody out. But yeah, so if you could help support the broadcast that we do for you, 7 hours of coverage every Friday night, you keep hearing the promos that are running here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And all of that is possible, not because of our time, but because of our sponsors' financial support to what we do. And we appreciate it. And we appreciate their loyalty to what we've done over the last 10 years. Hard to believe it's been 10 years of broadcasting high school. I was doing high school games here on the station before I was working full-time at the station. We would love to hear from you if your business can support at any level, any part of our high school football broadcast. It comes up 2 weeks from tonight. Oh, hard to believe because Friday's become a real whirlwind around here because you've got, the techs who have to set everything up on two remote locations. You've got the broadcast. So basically, we broadcast from three separate locations within about a five-hour period. We've got the pregame show. We've got the actual game broadcast, and we've got the post-game show all taking place from different locations. So we have three remote broadcasts all happening within the matter of hours. We have techs that have to go out, our remote techs that get everything set up, get to the stadium, get to the Pizza Hut, and then, of course, one of their jobs that was added a couple of years ago. Took me 8 years of begging, but finally one of their jobs is to carry the equipment up to the press box, but that's just should be expected. But anyway, so it's a big project and we hope that you can support us this year. So the time is running out, but get a hold of us. You can always message me, social media, you can find me and we'll get you fixed up with something that works for you to help us continue to bring you the best high school football coverage on radio anywhere in this darn state. I mean, we absolutely believe it. We're committed to it. And we hope you jump on board and partner with us. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. I guess you could also text us your business and contact. I'll get that because we've got our text line open this afternoon. Of course, Colts still getting set. No action for the Colts preseason yet, but we did have preseason football last night. Got our first look at the end of the bench guys for the Raiders and the Jaguars. No marquee names that took the field last night in Canton, but the Raiders did end up winning the game 27-11 over the Jaguars. I still think the Jaguars are going to be an improved football team, and I don't know that they're going to be good enough to be second in the AFC South, but I do think they're going to have significant separation between them and Houston. And, again, we talked about the Colts schedule the other day, and I don't think it's a bad schedule. Even though they start with two road games, last year they got to start with two home games. This year they go on the road twice. And they've got Houston and Jacksonville, two divisional opponents to start the season, both on the road. Houston is not a good football team. A lot of people think Davis Mills is better than people give them credit for, but I still think that the Colts are going to be better than Houston and find a way to win down in Texas. I think the Colts will win their season opener. What will this be? First time in 10 years, 9 years? The streak has gone on for way too long.
I believe it's been 9 years.
That is crazy, isn't it? I mean, I think about seven of those years they've been on the road. At least it feels like the Colts have overwhelmingly had to start on the road. But, that's just nuts. And then they get the streak in week one where they haven't won in week one forever. And then they go down to Jacksonville where they've also had their issues winning. Thought that streak was done for sure last year, that the Colts needing a win to get in the playoffs, controlling their own destiny, and then they blow it against the Jacksonville Jaguars last year in week 18. And so they get to perhaps get some revenge for that loss. They play Jacksonville in week two. I think, Caleb, are you going to agree with me at least through 2 weeks that the Colts are 2-0?
That's tough. I don't know.
Jacksonville on the road, divisional opponents.
Jacksonville to me is like the team that will be very much improved last season to this season. They're a team that I could see winning 7, 8, 9 games. I mean, they will be much improved.
Did Jacksonville pick up a weapon for Trevor Lawrence? I don't think
Travis Etienne is a college teammate.
Wide receiver.
That I don't know.
I mean, that's where I think Jacksonville takes the next step, is if they get that tandem, that combo. And so I've got the Colts 2-0, but I do have trouble in the home opener. I know there'll be a lot of emotion. The Colts will be pumped up for it. Hopefully they'll be 2-0. But Kansas City, as your home opener, is one of the toughest games on the schedule. I don't know if it's the toughest game, because you have to go to Denver. The Colts will be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Dallas, still, I'm not sure what to expect out of Dallas. But Kansas City at home in week three, after two road games, after two divisional road games, I can't see the Colts beating the Chiefs. So regardless, I've got the Colts 2-1 after 3 weeks. Then they've got Tennessee at home. How big of a decline do you give Tennessee? A lot of people are burying the Titans. I mean, like it's almost a tank job. And I don't think it's a tank job.
I don't think you were going to get much out of Julio Jones this year anyway. I think the ultimate question mark, Derrick Henry, does he come back? And I get that he played in the playoff game, but is he come back for the full season? Can he stay healthy? Is he still a quality every down back? I think that's the question mark, because Tannehill, quite honestly, has been solid. Like, yeah, he's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, he's in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL. You could put him in that 12 to 15 range pretty easily.
I mean, losing AJ Brown and Julio Jones, I mean, that's going to be, I don't know who they're throwing to be quite honest. And Tannehill, I don't think, is a great quarterback to begin with. He's not the kind of guy that makes his receivers better. I think he's the kind of guy that the receivers make him better. And so I think if defenses can key on Derrick Henry, you're going to have a huge advantage.
Well, they have Robert Woods at one of the wide receiver spots, a former Ram who had a successful career.
He was like the third or fourth best receiver on the Rams.
And then they have Nick Westbrook Ikhine. You know him as Nick Westbrook from IU, is one of the other projected starters.
I don't think those are guys that make Tannehill better. I mean, names that we know, but I mean, is either one considered a true number one wide receiver?
No.
I mean, these are number two or three at best.
Woods is a number two when healthy. Now, again, he had an injury, right? Was it last year?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he comes back from that injury.
And then the Colts, after those first four, which I've got them 3-1, they will go to Denver and take on Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. You know, Denver, is it fair to say that they're a Super Bowl sleeper in the AFC? And I'm not saying win the Super Bowl, but a team that it could actually perhaps make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I mean, I'm not doubting the Broncos. And then you've got Jacksonville one more time. You play Jacksonville basically twice in the first 6 weeks. I've got a loss at Denver. I've got a win at home against Jacksonville. And even with Tennessee's decline, I don't think the Colts sweep the two games against Tennessee. So when they go to Tennessee in week 7, where they'll play the Titans for the second time over a 4-week period, I've got them losing that game. Then the Colts will take on Washington. That will be in Indianapolis. We kind of know there who's going to be the quarterback for the Commanders. If he holds on to that job, he's not exactly looked great in camp so far, but Carson Wentz should be the Commanders quarterback. Then you go on the road to the Patriots. I've got them winning in New England. I don't think New England's that good a football team. They've got the biggest marquee names in New England to me are the coaching staff, where Bill Belichick just keeps recruiting a bunch of former head coaches. But Josh McDaniels is gone. He's out in Vegas now coaching the Raiders. So I don't think the Patriots are a great football team. I don't know if Mac Jones has a sophomore slump, but I've got the Colts beating the Patriots. Then they go to Vegas to take on the Raiders, Josh McDaniels and the Raiders, and I've got them losing that one just because I think the Raiders are a pretty good football team, and I think on the road, that's going to be a tough one for the Colts. Couldn't beat the Raiders last year when they needed a win over the Raiders at Lucas Oil Stadium. Then they've got Philadelphia. I'm still not a big Jalen Hurts guy, so I've got the Colts beating Philadelphia, beating Pittsburgh. Then they go to Dallas. And again, Dallas to me is a little bit of a question mark, but it's at Dallas, and I'll give Dallas the win. Colts will come home, play a primetime game against Minnesota. And I even gave I guess they don't come home. They go to Minnesota. I've got them losing at Minnesota. I got them losing back-to-back Dallas-Minnesota. And that's where panic will all of a sudden set in as the Colts lose back-to-back on the road. But then they get back home, take on the Chargers, and I think they'll prove a point against the Chargers after back-to-back losses. I think it's the toughest three-game stretch they may have on the schedule with Dallas-Minnesota on the road, Chargers at home. I'll give them the win over the Chargers. Then on the road to New York to take on the Giants, should win that one, and I think they'll win against Houston to end the season. Now, it's kind of scary if you look at the last two games and think, okay, are those the two games that could decide the division, could decide a playoff spot? Because the schedule last year we looked at and thought Raiders at home, Jacksonville on the road. Oh, well, if the Colts need them, they'll be able to at least get in with wins at the end of the season, and then they end up losing both games. But I don't think they'll do it this year. I've got the Colts 11-6, but if the AFC South, and I went through game by game and looked at kind of who they play, and of course, if you finish with worse records, the Colts were second last year, so they end up getting a better schedule than Tennessee gets. Tennessee's got a tough schedule. I don't see the Titans going any better than 9-8. I think they struggle to stay over 500. So I got the Colts 11-6. I got the Titans at 9-8. I got Jacksonville like you do. I've got Jacksonville 7-10. I still have Houston bad, though, 3-14. Caleb, just looking at the one-loss records, anything stand out? Those are what I came up with. Tennessee 9-8, Jacksonville 7-10, Houston 3-14. How close do you think I am on those?
I think the Houston one, I mean, they're going to win two or three games max. That's the ceiling. Jacksonville, like I said, 6, 7, 8, 9, up to 9 wins. Tennessee, I think they win 10.
9 would be over 500. That'd be pretty big for Jacksonville.
Yeah, again, I think they'll be a much improved team. Tennessee, I see 10. The Colts, I'm sticking with my 9-8 prediction. The Colts have not won in their last 6 games at New England, so I have that as a loss. I know that's one of the key ones where we differ. I have it week 2 as a loss at Jacksonville. I guess to me, the team, it's the same team, essentially. Yes, I get they added a pass rusher, and they have some rookies, but I'm not expecting the rookies to make huge impacts. But they added a pass rusher, and they swapped out one veteran quarterback for another. I get that Matt Ryan is probably more likable, but he's also much older, and he is not mobile, so these are things to keep in mind. And the Colts have a serious question mark at left tackle.
I think defensively they improved. I mean, they added a guy up front. They added a pass rusher on the edge. They added a corner that I think is going to be solid in Stephon Gilmore. Rodney McLeod, I don't know, but I feel good knowing there's not only McLeod back there, but there's Nick Cross back there. So there's options for the Colts at safety. I think their defense will be better because if you remember last year, Colts had two or three games that got away from them because of second half defense. Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, all those games could have been won if the defense could have done the job in the second half. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We're behind schedule, so we've got to start doing some catching up. And we'll take a break. We've got Justin Kenny, who's going to join us coming up at about 4:35. Yesterday, or the day before, we were talking about Vin Scully and the passing of the Dodgers legend, legendary broadcaster. 67 years he called Dodgers games to Los Angeles Dodgers fans. In fact, it was even the Brooklyn Dodgers before that. And we were talking about some of the most influential broadcasters we've had in our lifetime and voices that we hear in our heads as we were younger and we went to sleep. And Caleb, you were talking, I'm thinking, did you mention Vern Lundquist, didn't you? You know the other voice? And this is maybe my generation of college football. Keith Jackson.
Oh, yes. I love Keith Jackson as a kid. Whoa, Nelly.
Keith Jackson was the voice of college football. When you heard Keith Jackson come on the air, you knew that it was a big college football game. Yeah, and so he was another one that we somehow overlooked. And I talked about Dick Enberg and Marty Brenneman, Jack Brickhouse, who was before your time, but was on WGN calling Cubs games when I was a kid. In fact, Jack Brickhouse was calling Cubs games in black and white television. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Last night at the ballpark, Tin Caps just didn't have the bat to deliver the big hit. So many opportunities last night. They had guys in scoring position, multiple innings. They just, in fact, they went all the way to the ninth inning where they had second and third down by two. And it was a two out, nobody on ninth inning rally. I mean, they first two guys both were out, and so they had nothing going in the ninth, down by two, and they got two runners into scoring position at second and third, and unfortunately a ground out ended the game, and the runners were stranded. So the Tin Caps fall last night to the South Bend Cubs by a 3-1 score on a Thursday, a fireworks night, and tonight they're back at it. Oh, it looks like it's going to be a gorgeous night at the ballpark. 7,500 plus filled the ballpark last night. Hopefully we have that or more tonight. Tin Caps, South Bend. Tin Caps will send right-hander Ryan Burgert to the mound to take on the South Bend Cubs. And, of course, as I've said this week on the show, if you're a Cubs fan, you probably want to get a ticket and check out the future of the Chicago Cubs, because this roster that the Cubs keep putting out there every day, they've got five or six guys out of the nine in the batting order that right now are ranked as top 25 prospects for the Cubs. So this is the future. Last night, Pete Crow Armstrong, who we've seen just hit the cover off the baseball so far this week, he's the leadoff man for the Cubs. Last night, he, in center field, turned his back to the infield, went on a full sprint to the wall, picked up the baseball as he jumped, and caught the ball just as he went crashing into the center field wall. Bounced off the padding, dropped straight down to the warning track, held on to the baseball, and absolutely took one away from Augustine Ruiz. One of the best defensive plays we've seen this year, and in fact, maybe even for some time at Parkview Field. Huge defensive play last night for the Cubs. And the guy is number three on the prospects list for the Chicago Cubs. He's hitting again tonight in the leadoff spot for South Bend in game three of the six-game series. Two of the games are going to be played tomorrow night. So if you've got a ticket to tomorrow night, your ticket says 6:35. It's actually 5:35, a doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. So get there early if you've got a ticket for tomorrow night down at Parkview Field. All right, so you know what we're going to do after 5 o'clock is we're going to play Reggie or the other guy. We played this game a few weeks ago, and I had an entire board made out, and we never got to it. And so I thought, you know what, Spawn? There's a few good ones on here. I started to read some of the Reggie or the other guy questions. But here's what we're going to do different about it this time, Caleb. When we play this game after 5 o'clock, everybody who gets theirs right is going to win a large pizza to Pizza Hut. So all they got to do is call in. It's a 50-50 chance. If they pick the right one, Reggie or the other guy, Reggie Miller or the other guy, if they pick the right one, we'll give away large pizzas to Pizza Hut. That'll keep us busy. Keep Pizza Hut busy. But yeah, we've got that coming up just after 5 o'clock today. Also on the way, Jake Arthur. He is a co-host on a Locked On Colts podcast. We've had Jake on the show before when he was actually working for Colts.com. And now he's the deputy editor of HorseshoeHuddle.com. He also co-hosts the Locked On Colts podcast. He's been following Colts camp. We'll get his thoughts about what he's seen so far down in Westfield. Jake Arthur at 520. And then today, I promise, Griff with New Haven, Columbia City, and Woodland coaches. We'll have that for you coming up around 5:35. Busy day. Justin Kinney joins us next. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. As we said, Tidcast Baseball tonight out at the ballpark. 7:05 will be the first pitch. I'll join Mike Maz for the radio coverage starting at 6:45 with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. All right, it is officially 2 weeks from tonight. That means the next 2 weeks will be a complete blur, and then, boom, we'll be calling high school football on our Friday nights, and I know OutsideTheHuddle.net will be there to cover it. Already great coverage, counting down some of the top players in our area to look forward to seeing this year. And behind all of that is Justin Kinney, who joins us now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Justin, how are you this afternoon?
Afternoon, Brett. Doing pretty good. Up at a lake here in Michigan, relaxing. Just had a storm move through, but, you know, otherwise, just relaxing, you know, enjoying a late summer break here on a Friday before in 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking week one of high school football. So
I did the same thing. I took my break. I went to Florida.
I know. It looked like you had a lot of fun, even with that bird. Every other post of yours, I saw that.
Oh, man.
Bird in the picture.
I can't help it. I'm a bird man. I didn't know I was a bird man until I had a bird. And so, yeah, it. Now, are you a fisherman? Do you like to fish?
I like to fish. I wouldn't say I'm a fisherman per se.
Are you a bobber and a worm kind of guy? Is that what you are?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, because I was going to say, I had trips up to Michigan. We went to some lakes up in northern Michigan, and pike. It was my only experience catching pike, and man, that was some kind of an adrenaline rush to catch pike up there. Because they look like they'll bite your finger off is what they look like.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty looking things. Justin, want to talk high school football with you. Before we do, we're going to be playing a game coming up in our next hour called Reggie Miller or the Other Guy. And we've got these, stats, figures, questions comparing Reggie Miller to someone else. And we're going to give our listeners a chance to pick whether the answer to the question is Reggie or the other guy. And I want you to give me a number 1 through 10, because I'm going to test the game on you and see how you do. So 1 through 10, you're going to select your question. Which number would you like?
I will go with number 6.
It is a who is older question. Who is older, Reggie Miller or Charlie Sheen?
I know who has more mileage on their years is Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I will say Charlie Sheen.
And, Justin doesn't get a pizza today. He can enjoy his time at the lake because he doesn't have to go to Pizza Hut to pick up his pizza. The answer is actually Reggie Miller.
Really?
Yeah, but it was a trick question. I'm glad you took number 6, because a listener probably would have felt it was an unfair question. Let me tell you this. Reggie will be turning 57 on August 24th, so he's got a birthday coming up.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen will be turning 57 on September 3rd.
Oh, so they're very close.
Yeah, by about 10 days.
Man.
I just knew when I saw that, I just knew everybody will take Charlie Sheen because he looks like he's 70. All right, let's talk some high school football. We're a couple of weeks away from the season starting. Teams are now out and practicing. I guess let's start with biggest storyline. Is there a storyline? What if I ask you, hey, Justin, what's the biggest buzz about high school football this year? What would be your answer?
Well, it's an interesting question. I feel like maybe new faces in new places. When we look at coaching, you know, Jason Dorfler going from Northrop to Leo. So I think we're anticipating to see what that looks like. You know, you see, you know, just recently, you know, Jimmy Sullivan on the move from Homestead to Carroll. So does he able to get cleared to start and play in week one for the Chargers? I think that's an interesting storyline as well. And then really, too, if these teams that we feel have potential, we talk about Norwell in the Northeast 8, we talk about Northside in the SAC, talk about Wayne in the SAC, can these teams deliver on what the expectations have been put on them, particularly with Northside, is can they contend in the SAC? Because if you look at their schedule, their first six games – are arguably against the six best teams in the SAC other than themselves. And so how do they handle that first three games, but also how they handle that first two-thirds of the regular season? So a lot of questions, and we'll start getting answers here 2 weeks from tonight.
Great skill players at Northside. They've got guys that are going to be able to make plays, but what about up front? What about, I guess the front seven, so to speak, defensively? Will Northside be good enough to keep themselves in games?
They have pieces there, and that was kind of the thing last year is they did give up a lot of points, you know. So they have Jordan King up front, offensive line. He's as good as anybody around in the SAC. And then out on the other side with Mitch Vargovich, who's a very good player up front in defense. But, you know, you need multiple guys up there. You know, offensive line, you can't just have one. You need five. You can't just have one on defense. You need three or four. And you need some linebackers that can get to the ball. So we look at Northside as a team with a lot of individual talent, right? But can they put it together collectively? You know, can they survive through adversity? Can they avoid, you know, getting down on each other, getting down on themselves? That's the key for Northside, because if they can play four complete quarters and stay together for 9 weeks, they can win 6, 7, 8 games in this conference potentially. But if things start to go south, if they start having some adversity they need to face, and they don't handle it well, which was the case last year, then they're not going to meet expectations.
I think we need to figure out how to branch out of the SAC, because it's always too easy to immediately, when we talk football, focus on the Summit Athletic Conference, and there's so many of our area teams that are like, hey, talk about us. yesterday, I joked that the ACAC should be officially renamed the Adams County Athletic Conference, because Adams County has owned the football conference over the last few years. Is there anybody that could be a serious threat to a championship not going back to Adams County this year?
I don't think so. I think we look at Adams Central, and they have to replace, you know, Alex Curry and Blake Hierley. And they have a lot of young guys. That junior class is really stacked with talent. So I'm still putting Adams Central atop the league and South Adams in there at number two. I think there's a lot of intrigue after that. I mean, I think when you look at Woodland, can they take a step forward? Bluffton, where are they at? But I think the team to watch in the ACAC for me is Heritage, with Casey Kolkman in year three, him in Roeville. He has a lot of guys now that have been with him multiple years and know what to expect and know the system, know the expectations. You know, you look at defensive players like Rylan Whitaker, who went over 100 tackles last year and is a very good leader, very good player at the linebacker spot. There's a lot of experience back offensively. So can Heritage be that third best team in the ACAC, which I feel like in recent years, that's the best anybody outside of Adams County can do. I think there's potential there, and maybe we can see in the next year or two, maybe a Heritage continue to break through. Maybe a Woodland can find themselves again and challenge for the top of the league. But as far as this year, it's still going to be Adams Central and South Adams.
Justin, I can always tell how much time you spent talking to Casey Kolkman, because if you spend any time at all, you would have Heritage right there in the mix, because you can't help but get excited about the Patriots when you have a chance to talk to Casey Kolkman. He's so much fun to talk to. And so what about NECC is going to be an interesting race this year? Because I said yesterday that the loss of Laban Davis could turn two ways in the NECC. One, it could make Eastside want to prove we are not just a one-man show, that we are not a one-trick pony, that we are a program that depends on a lot of different people and we can still win without our star. Or it could open the door to another team getting an opportunity to take it away from Eastside. I don't know what to expect. I think there's still plenty of talent at Eastside, but I also kind of like Cherubusco. What are you thinking as far as the Northeast Corner Conference?
Well, you look at the small division, and you know that was a really good game last year, even with Laban Davis around. It was at Cherubusco, and I think his final was 20-13 Eastside, and that was a game that I don't think Eastside scored in the first half even in that game. So it was a very competitive game. Cherubusco brings some pieces back. Eastside, you know, you lose Laban Davis, and he was such a huge part of that program and a generational player in a lot of respects. For Eastside, pieces are back. You look at Dakota Reed is back, and Dax Holman is back. Carson Jacobs will move from wide receiver to quarterback to take up where Laban left off. But you have to think that a team that's knocked off Bishop Lewis two of the past 3 years, when they graduate as deep of a class as they did, is going to take a bit of a step back. I think there's an opportunity there then for Cherubusco to ascend. But you know, I still like the pieces that Eastside has in place, and what Coach Todd Mason is really focused on is really building a program to where they're just reloading and they're not hinging all their success on one or two classes going forward. So I still like Eastside in that small school division, and I feel when you look at Angola, that disappointingly only had two wins last year, that's a team I expect to bounce back. Maybe not the level they were in the late 2010s, where they won back-to-back sectional championships, but I feel there's pieces enough there that they are the most complete team on paper in that big division.
Let's talk NE8 football. And you mentioned the move from Jason Dorfler going from Northrop to Leo. It's going to be a different look for the Lions this year, and I think that's what kind of the fan base is after. I think that's what the change was based on, is let's try to give this program a little bit of a different look. How is that going to play in Leo? Do they have the personnel for it? What do you expect from the Lions?
I believe you brought up the biggest question for Leo, is do they have the personnel to run the schemes that Jason Dorfler is employing there? I think there's going to be excitement when they come out and put 2-3-4 wide out on offense, but can they execute that offense to the level that they were able to execute their pack it in, run first offense under Jason or Jared Sauter? And I think it's a big question. So it's almost a be careful what you wish for. You know, it's a modernized, quote unquote, modernized offensive attack, right? But was Leo's advantage over the past decade the fact that they ran their offense as well as anybody around, and it was difficult to contain and stop? You look at what Adams Central does. Everybody knows what Adams Central is going to do, but good luck stopping it, in single class football. So, the expectations for Leo is to compete for NE8 championships, but even more than that, a decade without a sectional championship. The thinking is this modernized approach will help achieve that. But, could we see some, steps back at first until this team that's built from within and, everybody running the same thing until you get a couple years in the system and everybody's kind of, up to speed. So it's almost a be careful what you wish for thing for Leo. We'll see how they can perform. But at this point, I'm putting both Norwell and East Noble in front of Leo right now in the NE8 pecking order.
Well, and that's what I've got. I've got marked that the Norwell at East Noble game is going to be the game of the year to perhaps decide the championship of the NE8. Am I guess from what you're saying, you feel like I'm on the right track?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, you look at Leo and, you know, bringing back, or, you know, excuse me, Norwell, and you bring back Leighton Bailey, and you bring back John Colbert and Luke Graft and, you know, Brody Bolin. It's a stacked class of 2023 for Norwell, all multi-sport guys. You know, you look at the baseball, you look at the basketball, all the same, you know, suspects performing. That junior class is really talented, too, for Norwell. It's still that team that doesn't seem to get much respect, despite back-to-back years of beating East Noble and getting all the way to play Brebeuf last year in the playoffs. So I like Norwell. I like the continuity with East Noble. You know, they may not have the individual talent this year that Leo does, but all those guys are familiar with that system, right, for multiple years. It's a brand-new look for Leo. How long does it take them to get comfortable, and do they have the guys, like I said, offensively, to run what they want to run? And I think there's a lot of questions around Leo because of that. I'm taking the known quantities. I'm taking the guys that have been there for multiple years in those systems at Norwell and East Noble to perform this year at a higher level.
Let you go out and catch a crappie and let you go and enjoy your weekend. But take it easy. Enjoy the break this weekend. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, Brad. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that is Justin Kinney, OutsideTheHuddle.net and OPS, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, we'll be talking to Justin all season. Plus, he'll be back hosting the Hoopy Insurance Services High School Football Coaches Show, which is going to make its season premiere the night before opening night, which will be on August 18th, 6 o'clock start time, right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. It is another season of the High School Football Coaches Show presented by Hoopy Insurance Services right here on 1380 The Fan. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to give you a chance to win with Reggie or the other guy. Justin Kinney did everybody a favor by probably taking the toughest question out of the entire 10 questions I prepared. So we'll give you a chance to win with that. We've also got Jake Arthur from the Locked On Colts podcast, deputy editor of HorseshoeHuddle.com. He'll join us. And Griff with New Haven, Columbia City, and Woodland Coaches. It's all coming up before 6 o'clock right here on The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.